To God be the glory for all he has done. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Well, come and go to that land where I'm bound. Where I'm bound. Well, come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land where I'm bound. Well, I got a Savior in that land. I got a Savior in that land. I got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. Where I'm bound. Well, I got a Savior in that land. I got a Savior in that land. Well, I got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land where I'm bound? Where I'm bound. Well, don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land where I'm bound? Well, no more dying in that land. There's no more dying in that land. No more dying in that land where I'm bound. Where I'm bound. Well, no more dying in that land. No more dying in that land. No more dying in that land where I'm bound. Well, come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land where I'm bound. Where I'm bound. Well, come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land where I'm bound. We thank you. We notice for our scripture tonight, the third chapter of John, beginning at the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Three verses. Third chapter, John, beginning 16th, 17th, 18th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word for the good of our souls. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the maker and creator of all mankind, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Our Father in heaven, we come with our heads bowed and humble hearts this evening, thanking you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Father God, we thank you for watching over us last night and waking us this morning. Let us live to see another day. You able us to live, move, and have our being. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for taking care of our families, Father God. We danger seen and unseen, but Lord, you blessed us. You blessed us to see one more day. Lord, we just want to say thank you. You're good to us. We praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up. You're good, you're righteous, you're just. You are an awesome God. You God and you God all by yourself. Now, Lord, you put food on our tables, raiments on our backs, shelter over our heads. You saved our souls from a burning hell. And, Lord, I thank you. Father God, we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions against thee. Create in us a clean heart and give us a spirit of love. Lord, we need you. We can't do nothing without you. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life on Calvary's cross. You hung, bled, and died, but you didn't stay dead. Third day morning, you got up with all power in your hands. And you live forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a right to the tree of life. Now, Lord God, we come asking that you continue to bless us and keep us in your care. You took care of us up and down the dangerous highways, byways, and streets and avenues. Brought us safely to this appointed place. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Father, we ask that you bless these who've gathered here. Some standing in need of one thing and some in need of another, but whatever it is, Lord God, grant it in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, for our pastor and his family. Bless them and have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon our associate ministers, Lord God, and their families. Father God, we pray for our officers, each and every auxiliary, Lord God. Have mercy upon them. Then, Father, we pray for each and every soul that enter these doors. We pray that you save lost souls and reclaim backsliders. Create in us a clean heart. Put us on the road called straight in Jesus' name. Keep us, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God. We're living in perilous times. Perilous times where mean men and women count your way unholy. Father God, we realize it's right here at the door. You said you're standing at the door knocking, Lord God. We open the door and let you come in. You'll come in and sup with us. But Lord God, we just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Father, we pray for this whole world at large. Bless us and keep us in your care. Help us to realize that one day, Father, we got to stack up our war tools and steady war no more. We got to be ready to meet you, Lord God. Be ready to meet you, Jesus. Help us to live a life and be doers of your word and not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Well, I'm satisfied with Jesus in my heart. And I'm satisfied with Jesus. Well, I'm satisfied with Jesus, Lord. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my heart. Well, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. Well, now, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Well, you can't make me doubt him. Well, you can't make me doubt him, Lord. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. I know too much about him. I know too much about him. Yes, I know too much about him in my heart. I know too much about him. Yes, I know too much about him. Well, I know too much about him in my heart. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus, in my heart. But I thank you, Jesus. Yes, I thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. We thank you. To God be the glory for all he's done. At this time, the assistant pastor, Reverend David McCoy, will come. Reverend McCoy.
I'd like to say good evening to everybody. First, I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life, to our pastor, the pastor of the church, our pastor T. Jefferson Rogers, and to these brothers that share the space with me, the deacons and trustees. We thank God for Deacon McLean for opening us up in devotion. We have Brother Vincent, Brother Mazette, Brother Blackman, Brother Larry, Brother Abrams, and Brother Evans. And we thank God for them. We thank God for our media ministry, as well as for our security with Brother McLean. And we thank God for all of you who are watching virtually. Amen. Tonight, the pastor, he couldn't be here. He had another engagement this evening that he had to be at the same time. So he wasn't able to be here for Bible study on tonight. And we need to continue to pray for him and his family. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, and in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your word, and we pray, dear God, that you begin to reduce me, that you use me, dear Heavenly Father, for your benefit. We pray, dear God, that your word go out forward, dear God, and it won't return void, that it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. We thank you, dear God, for your word, and we ask, dear God, that you begin to show me, dear Heavenly Father, what you want me to say. We ask that you reduce me, dear Heavenly Father, and help me, dear God, to do your will. And we pray, dear God, that you clear my mind, dear Heavenly Father, where I can think right, and that everything that be said and done, that you get all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, our Bible study is coming from the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at chapter 5. It's the book of Acts. I thank God for, and Brother Wells, he's joining us tonight as well. I thank God for the opportunity to teach Bible study. I don't take any invitation that the pastor give me lightly. He can get anybody that he want to Bible study or whatever, but I thank God for the opportunity. It's coming from the book of Acts, chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 16. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. That's the book of Acts. Looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And it reads, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, and at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. We want to use for a topic tonight the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. When you look at this particular story, God was using it as a way to show us that if we as Christian people would get sincere about our worship with him and follow him, that he can do some things throughout the land through the hands of the church. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to have a reputation like Barnabas. But they did not have the same character that he had. What they did was they perpetrated that they had sold, they sold a possession, but they said they was bringing it to the church. It wasn't because the church needed money or it wasn't about money, but it was because of the fact that they had lied to God. And so God was using this as an opportunity to show them that he is serious about his business. We can have the same thing going on in church today, but because we won't line up under the word of God and because we won't fear him, God cannot use us for the same thing. Ananias and Sapphira, they was Christians. They were children of God. And God actually took them out of his world because they had done something that was detestable in his sight. The apostles didn't know, the people didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew what they had conspired together in order so that they could say that they gave this over to the church. They was trying to act like another individual named Barnabas, or they was trying to act like they was big shots or giving things to the church. And what Peter was trying to get them to understand was, this was your possession. When you sold this possession, if you didn't want to give it all to the church, you didn't have to actually say that you was giving it all to the church. You could have kept part for yourself just like you did. But because you had lied to the Holy Spirit, then God, actually, they fell dead right there. And when they fell dead, this actually became known to the folks in the church and to those that was around. And because of what the Lord had done to them, great fear had fell upon the church and the people that was around. And so he was using the apostles, because when he was using these apostles, it's because of the fact that they was anointed and was doing what God called them to do. And since they was using them, and the fear that the people had, there was a lot of men and women that was being added to the church on a regular basis. And so we got to understand that if we want our communities to change, we want our churches to grow, we want to do the things that's right in the eyesight of God, then we have to live a life that's pleasing in His sight. When you look at Ananias and Sapphira, although they was believers, they had succumbed to the temptations of greed and pride. And so we got to understand, just because that we are Christians, we still have to live according to the word of God. We cannot change in midstream. God expects us to live and to respond and to do things in a different light than other people. Satan has filled their hearts. And that's what the word of God said. It says Satan filled their hearts. And when you look at the word filled, the word filled is the same word that was used that was filled by the Holy Spirit. Filled in this tense means that it's the term meaning to take possession of. And what they did was they allowed the devil to take possession of them and to control them. God's children who have been freed from the devil have the ability to choose who they will allow to control them. So we have the ability to do that. When we choose sin, we open up the doors to the devil. And that's exactly what happens. God was building the church from ground up. This was the early church. And what he was doing was, he was painting a picture that he is serious about his word. And so we got to understand, by being Christians, we have to be the same way. We got to be sincere, and we got to be serious about the word of God. Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to God, the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the triune Godhead, they lied to him. They was lying to God. Because when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God the Father as well. So when they lied, and God actually took the life of Ananias and Sapphira, great fear fell among the church. So when you had this fear, when we're talking about fear, what are we talking about when we're talking about fear? The word fear here is a Greek word which means to put fear in. It means to alarm. It means fright, to be afraid, and exceedingly fear of terror. There are two types of fear that we're talking about here in the Bible. The types of fear is a healthy fear, and one is a harmful fear. The healthy fear is a reverence or respect for God. The harmful fear is a sense of terror or dread. So when you look at this right here, there was two types of fear going on. In the church house, there was fear because there was reverence and respect for God, because they knew who God was. And there was harmful fear, because those who did not know God, they was in fear and they was in terror or dread, because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. When they saw that God took the life of Ananias and Sapphira, they had great fear. When this fear fell upon them, it's the same thing it is in our day and time. Have you ever been to a point in your life where you looked up to a person? They're born again Christian. They rooted and grounded in the church, and for some reason, they end up going home to be with the Lord early. And so what people do is they start getting fearful. Everybody have run across or been related to somebody in that area. So when God take that person's life, it starts telling you, you need to get your life together. Because sometimes when people go on to be with the Lord, we think they go on to be too early. And so when they go, great fear comes upon you, because you're like, man, if the Lord gonna take them, I better get myself together. And so the people that had heard about this in this town, the ones that was in the church, they had became fearful, because if God had done it to Ananias and Sapphira, what God gonna do to us? And when you live in any kind of way, when you live in your life that's not right, God can take you out of here anytime to make an example out of you. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. So when you look at Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, it says the fear
of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we got to understand this type of fear right here is a healthy fear. It's a reverence fear. It's a fear of respect for the Lord. And so when you have respect for him, it's the beginning of wisdom. So the word wisdom begins with a relationship to the creator of God, i.e. a fear or submissive reverence to Yahweh. So our wisdom begins when we have a relationship with the Lord. The word fear here is a reverential fear of God as a controlling motive of life and matters spiritual and moral, not a mere fear of his power and retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. And so that's what happened in the early church. When God took the life of Ananias and Sapphira, they had got to a point was they was at a dreadful fear, and they did not want to get to a point of displeasing God at all. And that's why men and women was joining the church everywhere, because of the fact that they had came to a dreadful fear, and they didn't want to do anything that was going to go against the word of God. They didn't want to do anything that was going to be displeasing to him. They wanted to do everything they could to please God. And so we got to understand that's how God operates. So the fear of the Lord is the most basic ingredient in wisdom. All wisdom depends on the knowledge of God and submission to his will. And so we got to understand that. We got to understand that when we have fear, that is the basic ingredients to the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. So when we have the wisdom and knowledge of him, we got to understand that his submission to his will comes by the basic ingredient, which is the fear of the Lord. And you know, it's sad that we as Christian people, we can come to church, we can worship God, but we don't have no fear of him. We got folks that will come to church and they'll tell you a lie to your face right in the sanctuary of God. We got folks that will tell a lie on God. They will be mess makers. They'll be truth breakers. They'll get right out of church and start calling folks, spreading gossip rather than the gospel. And so you got to understand, when you do this kind of thing, it's just like Ananias and Sapphira. People did not know that they sold this land for the church, and they didn't know what amount they sold it for, but the Holy Spirit knew. When you go back and start talking about God's people, when you start doing things against the Lord behind folks' back, the Holy Spirit know what you're doing, and God know what you're doing. And so when you do things that's detestable to God and you don't show no fear of him, God cannot operate through us. And if we want God to operate through us, and we want God to use us for his benefit, we ought to have fear of the Lord. We ought not want to do anything that's displeasing in the eyesight of God. And so we got to understand, as being Christian men, by being Christian women, we got to understand that we got to have a relationship with him. But it starts with the fear of who God is and reverencing him. So we got to understand that all wisdom depends on knowledge of God and submission to his will. To know something but to not know God overturns the value of having knowledge in the first place. And what that means is, we got people who they going to school and they getting all kind of degrees. There's nothing wrong with going to school. There's nothing wrong with degrees. But if you don't know who Jesus is, then that negates any kind of degree that you have. All knowledge and wisdom you have starts with the Lord. You may have knowledge of the world, but you don't have knowledge of how you got to live, how you have to operate. We don't know how to function. We don't know how to live. We don't know how to operate unless we have the wisdom of God. And that starts by having a relationship with him. And so we got to understand, when we have a relationship with him, that right there is where the knowledge starts, and that's where the wisdom starts with the Lord. So we see here that Peter accused Sapphira of agreeing with Ananias to test the spirit of the Lord. And that's right there in the text. In verse 9 it says, "Then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?'" Now, when you look at that right there, to test the Holy Spirit is to see how one can get away to with get away with before God actually judges you. In other words, what I'm trying to say is people press the limits with God. And what Peter was telling Sapphira was, you and your husband had agreed to test the Spirit of the living God. In other words, you're trying to do everything you can to get away with as much as you can. Some of us, we live our life on the edge all the time. We always straddling in the fence. We want to do as much as we can over here and not thank God see what we're doing. But when you give your life to Christ, we ought to be going the opposite direction and doing everything we can to live for Him. But what Ananias and Sapphira were doing was they was testing the limits of God. Some of us, we do the same thing. We would do everything up under the sun. We'd come to church every Sunday. We'd lift up holy hands. We'd say we love the Lord, but we living like devils on Monday through Saturday. God sees all that stuff. And so we got to understand that's testing the limits of God. And when you test the limits of God, you testing it to the point of judgment. And so we got to understand, we live our life like that and we live it on the edge. You don't ever know when God coming back for you. When Ananias and Sapphira were standing before the apostles, they went to stand before them because they were doing a noble thing. And when they were doing a noble thing, they had no idea that God was going to take their life because they had lied to the Holy Spirit. And so we got to understand, when you live like a devil and you're trying to play church, you're trying to play the world, you're trying to straddle the fence, you don't know when God going to come back for you. And so you got to be ready for the Lord at all times. And when you get saved and when you give your life to Him, no matter what's going on in your life, every day, every week, every year that you have a relationship with Him, our life should get better. We should start doing more for Jesus and not less. We ought not be doing what we can see, what we can get away with, what we think other folks don't see. See, we look at what other people see in us. We don't need to worry about what other folks see in us. We got to line up with the Word of God says. God sees everything that we do. He hears everything that we do. He knows when you talking about your brothers and sisters. He knows when you mistreating your brothers and sisters. He knows when you're not doing what you're supposed to do for Him. He knows when you living a life for Him, and when you living a true life for Him. God knows everything. And so we got to understand, just because our church members can't see us, just because the pastor can't see you, doesn't mean you can live your life any kind of way. So we got to have a powerful lifestyle and living for the Lord. But when you first get saved, you're not going to be 100%. But you should slowly start getting to that point. We're never going to be perfect individuals. We're never going to be perfect human beings, but we ought to strive to be perfect. We ought not be striving to do everything else up under the sun and try to hide stuff from the Lord, because God sees everything. And so when you look at Ananias, when you look at Sapphira, although they was husband and wife, although they was Christian people, this is exactly what happened to them, because they start getting into the weeds and start living on the edge, and they start letting the devil take over their hearts and their minds. And so God was saying, look, you didn't lie to man, but you lied to me. And so when God took that, He did that so He can use them for an example, and fear fell among those that was around. And so when you look at verse 11, it says, "So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things." Now you got to understand, this is how powerful the church of God can be. And when you're talking about the word church here, this is not talking about New Bethlehem Church. This is talking about the whole body of Christ. So We as individuals, no one or two people cannot do this by themselves. It's a collective effort by the children of God. And so when we are a collective group and we're trying to live for Him, God can do powerful things through us. That's just how good God is. And so we see here that as a result of the discipline of this couple, all the believers and unbelievers who heard about it fell with great fear. And so that's why fear is so important when it comes down to the church. Like I said, there is a reverence of God, and there is a terror of God. God don't want us to be afraid of Him, but He wants us to reverence Him as being Lord and Savior. And that's the reason why it says in the book of Matthew that we don't need to fear man who can only just destroy the body. You need to fear Him who can destroy soul and body. And so we'll fear man. We walk around here in fear in our own neighborhoods because everything that's going on up under the sun. But if we learn how to fear the Lord will protect us. The Lord will lead and guide us, because that's what we need to be fearing. Because when you fear Him, He can destroy body and soul. And so that's the most important thing that we need to see for ourselves. And so by this fear falling on the church, God was working unusual miracles by the hands of the apostles. You see, it says right here, it says, and through the hands of the apostles in verse 12, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And it says, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So the biggest thing about the apostles was they was on one accord. See, sometimes we are divided when it comes down to the church. We got too many churches in America and everybody got their own agenda. The only agenda we should have is lifting up the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what the name of your church is. It doesn't matter what your church is. What matters is what your church stands for. Your church should stand for lifting up the name of Jesus. And when we as a church collectively lift up the name of Jesus, God can work miracles through the hands of the church. And that's what He needs. He needs us to be sincere about our worship and our relationship with Him. And when we be sincere about our worship, our relationship with Him, then we'll see a difference in God Almighty. These miracles that they was working and they was being on one accord and they were lifting up the name of Jesus, these people had so much fear of God because of what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira that they didn't even need nothing but to just come out. They believed so much that Peter and them were so anointed that they were bringing men and women out on couches, on beds, that if he just walked by them, they felt like if just the shadow of them would just fall on them, that they would be healed. That's exactly how they felt. They felt that these guys were so anointed because there was so much fear going on during this time frame that they just thought that just the shadow of Peter would just heal them. And so they believed this wholeheartedly. We got folks right now. They ordering holy cloths. They ordering holy water. They ordering holy oil. They paying on a prayer hotline, and they ain't going nowhere. But these folks had anointing, and they had anointing because they was lifting up the name of Jesus, and they was all on one accord. And so when we as Christians can learn how to lift up His holy name, and we can learn to be on one accord, stop fighting each other as being children of God, God can work miracles through the hands of the church. And so they was looking at this. And you see here, it says that these people were getting saved, they was getting healed, and unclean spirits was coming out of them. And so when you look at our nation, the things that we had went through in this last year with the pandemic, the things that was going on, we got to understand that God allows judgment or pronounced judgment on this world because we're not doing what he wants us to do. He's not looking at the unsaved folks. He's looking at the church. And he's not just looking at this church. He's looking at every church. And that's why we have to live a life that's pleasing in his sight. We have to have fear. We have to have reverence of God. And when we do that, God can actually operate. God can actually operate through his believers. And he can do that. And so that's why God wanted them to understand that, listen, I am serious about this business. I'm serious about this church. I'm serious about my worship. I'm serious about my relationship with you all. And when you do that, you will see a difference in the way God operates in our community, in our society, in our households. And that's all God needs. He don't need us to do anything special. He don't need you to go out and sell your house and bring all the money to the church. He don't need you to do anything but do your part of what you're supposed to do and learn how to love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just like everybody else do. We got to stop hindering God's Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we're doing. When we fear God and we reverence him like we're supposed to, that you will see a difference in the way our lives are and how things end up for us. The purpose of this whole account with Ananias and Sapphira in this narrative, it was to reveal God's displeasure with sin, particularly dishonest in his body and the church. We got to understand that God, he hates sin. He hates displeasure in sin. They was lying to him. You know, God said that a liar won't tarry in his sight. We got to understand that we can't be like that. We got a lot of people who don't have no fear of the Lord no more. We used to fear God. I mean, think about it. When we was coming up, the fear of the Lord was so strong, there was a lot of things we did not do in the church house. These people have absolutely no care in the world what they do in the church house anymore. I'm talking about you got people doing everything up under the sun and still call themselves lifting up the name of Jesus. And thank God don't see none of this stuff. This whole account is to show them that God was displeased with their dishonesty in the body of Christ. He was looking at it as you two are my children, and you're going to come to me and lie to my face like you are bringing everything to the church. And that's the reason why he took their life. So we got to understand that when you look at the word of God and how God operates. God operates and he uses things and uses examples in order to further his kingdom. So when you look at the wisdom of God, we also have fools who have rejected the fear of the Lord. When you reject the fear of the Lord, that term despises, it packs a strong negative punch. Not fearing God is the same as rejecting wisdom right outright. So you rejecting him outright. So we have to understand that's what God is looking for from us. He wants us to have the fear of him. He don't want us to be afraid of him. He don't want us to be somewhere hiding and terror or doing this kind of thing. He don't want us to have that kind of fear. What he wants to have the reverence fear of him and letting people know exactly how God is in our life. When the ungodly people, when the sinner folks see how we fear God in our lifestyle, they want to know the Jesus that we know. There's no sense in wasting our time in worship when you don't even fear the God that you serve. We say that we fear him, we say we love him, but we don't fear him the way God wants us to. And we got to reverence him. We should reverence God in everything that we do. God is looking for that out of us. And so we as Christian and churchgoers, we have to be the example that God wants to use.
And so we have to see that's just how God is. So when you look at God's word, when you look at Proverbs, and looking at Proverbs 9 and 10, it had a B portion that it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And it says, "And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so when you're talking about knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, that is knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we as Christians have to understand that that's what God is looking for from us, to have the knowledge of the Holy One and for our understanding. We cannot understand or fully understand God if we don't follow his word, if we don't read his word, if we don't study his word. That is one of the number one downfalls of the church, is we do not read his word. And that's the reason why he said that my people perish from a lack of knowledge. We perish from a lack of knowledge because a lot of people don't take the time out to study God's word. So they don't know what God's word says to them for themselves. When you fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We have to have knowledge of him. We have to know what God expects from us. We got to know what God wants us to do and how God wants to operate. And that's how God wants us to do it. And so we as Christian people have to live our life like that. And that's the reason why God wants us to reverence him. God wants us to fear him. And that's why God wants us to do what he called us to do. And so when you look at Ananias and Sapphira, and like I was trying to tell you earlier, Ananias and Sapphira, this was a good example to the early church. This is when he was getting it off the ground. And like I said, they was trying to do something different. They was trying to be big shots. They was trying to, they call themselves selling the possession, giving the money, the proceeds to the church, but they just kept back part of it for themselves. And they had conspired to do this before they sold the possession. And when they done that, that right there is where God said that they was lying to him. And so don't try to be somebody that you're not. Don't try to do something that you're not capable of doing. Do what God require or what God called you to do, but don't try to perpetrate and be something that you're not. We have too many people who try to be something that they're not in the church. And that's where we hindering God's program. We got to let God use us and lead us according to his word. And that's what God expects and expects out of us as being Christians. And so if we're going to follow God and we're going to live for him, we have to learn how to have fear and reverence of the Lord. And if you live for him and if you follow him, then you will understand that's how God operates. And when you live for Jesus and you do what he requires you to do, other people will see Jesus in you and they will want to have that same Jesus in them. And that's what God is looking for from us as individuals, that we're looking for us as a church. And like I said, we as a church have to be on one accord. We don't have to be named the same, but we have to believe the same. We don't have to be all on the same corner. We don't have to be in the same state, but we still got to do the same thing, and that's lifting up the name of Jesus. Our sole purpose as a church, our sole purpose as being children of God, should be to lift up the name of Jesus. Nothing else is more important than that. And if we stick to lifting up his holy name, then we will stay out of trouble with God, because God gets displeased when his children does not operate according to the way he wants them to operate. And so that's the way God is. And so that's our lesson for tonight. We, like I said, we have two different type of fears. We have a healthy fear and we have a harmful fear. And so we as children of God have to learn how to fear the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Tonight we want to take time out to pray for those that are sick, those that shut in this church. We want to pray for our bereaved family. I want to thank God for those who are praying for me and my family as we lay my grandmother to rest. I thank God for that. I thank God for everyone, and continue to pray for our pastor and continue to pray for this church, our church family. Our church family need our prayers, because we want to do is in this church, we want to continue to further the kingdom of God and further his gospel by doing according to his will. And the devil is always trying to do things in order to hinder the word of God and hinder his kingdom from going forward. It says, you know, when you seek to do good, evil is always present. And that's all the time. So that's why we have to continue to pray for one another. When you pray, we need to always pray for each other. And we pray for each other, we can strengthen each other, and we can cover each other. And that's what the Lord is looking for from us. And we thank God for Jesus. And we end in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you, dear God, for your word. And we pray, dear God, that your word go forward, that it don't come back void, that it would accomplish what you sent it out to do. We ask, dear Lord, that you give your listeners a listening ear to Heavenly Father. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for them. We thank you for those brothers that's here. We thank you for every household that's represented, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray that you bless those households. We pray, dear God, that you continue to strengthen, bless our pastor, the Heavenly Father, and his family. We ask you, God, that you keep him, the Heavenly Father, in your care. We ask the Heavenly Father that you continue to touch our associate ministers, the Heavenly Father, our deacon ministries, the Heavenly Father, our trustees ministry, dear God, every auxiliary of this church. We ask that you touch them, the Heavenly Father, that you lift them up, the Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, dear God, that you bless them, bless their families, dear God. And we ask, dear God, that you bless this church collectively. We ask the Lord that if there's any that's sick, any that's shut in, to Heavenly Father, those that's in the hospital, to Heavenly Father, we ask that you heal them, to Heavenly Father. We know, dear God, that you're able, and we know, dear God, you said in your words that by your stripes, to Heavenly Father, we are healed. And we thank you, dear God, for your healing power. We pray, dear God, that you continue, to Heavenly Father, to show us, dear God, the direction and the way that we want to go. Continue to work with our pastor, dear God. We ask that you work with our youth, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to bless our youth director, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for those who are listening tonight, dear God. We ask that you continue to bless them. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for every opportunity. And we pray, dear God, that you be lifted up and glorified. We pray that your will be done, dear Heavenly Father, and that you, dear Heavenly Father, receive all the praise, the glory, all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, dear God, moreover, that you bless those, dear Heavenly Father, and that you continue, dear God, to just strengthen your bereaved family, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you comfort them, dear Heavenly Father, with your love, and we thank you for it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, dear God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, you have all the honor. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we do pray and do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.